Welcome back to What It's Really Like to Be an Entrepreneur. I'm Vincent Lancy.
And I'm Eric Malzone.
Do you want to know what it's really like to be an entrepreneur? If so, you came to the right place. Whether you're already an entrepreneur, are looking to start your journey tomorrow, or are just someone who needs a little extra motivation to get through the day, this is the perfect podcast for you. Each week, I interview a different entrepreneur from across the globe. My goal for this podcast is to help you realize that giving up is never an option. If you missed the last episode, be sure to download it after you tune in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate the show 5 stars and continue listening by subscribing. My guest on the show today is another product of networking. Today's guest is in the mentorship and consulting realm with a background in fitness. He loves to coach fellow entrepreneurs and help them succeed. And as an entrepreneur at heart, he pulled the corporate ejector and opened his first business in 2009, Gravitas Fitness. After 9 years of owning successful brick and mortar businesses and a deep analysis of his own ideal day, he decided to sell his businesses with the purpose of creating a bigger impact in the fitness and health industry while living the lifestyle that him and his wife have always dreamed of. Since then, he's now the host of 2 top-rated podcasts, The Future of Fitness and Fitness Blitz Radio, where he has interviewed 500 professionals in the areas of fitness, health, and wellness. He is the co-founder of Certified Course Creation and the Fitness Accelerator Networking Company. Eric lives a nomadic lifestyle balanced with hard-driving business development and new adventures in nature, culture, and travel. Allow me to please introduce Eric Malzone. Eric, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, Vincent. This is awesome.
I'm glad to connect again. We fought a little bit to try to nail down a time, so here we are. Would you mind please introducing yourself to our listeners just a little more without giving too much of your entrepreneurial journey away?
Yeah, man. Let's see. My name's Eric Malzone. I currently live in Whitefish, Montana. I, like you said, am a serial entrepreneur for the last 12, 13, maybe 14, maybe even 15 years of my life, but who's counting, right? I'm very much, I guess what you could categorize as a lifestyle entrepreneur. I believe, you know, the bottom line is important, but if it cost me my lifestyle, the time I love doing things that I love, and overall affecting my health and things like that, it's not worth it. So I'm very much into doing things for the reasons that align with your values, and that's kind of who I am.
I'm excited to learn much more about that. I'm very similar. I was on the finance path, and I do love the art of finance. I love the payday that also came with it, but aligning my mission with my goals and my values, I'm happy with the mission I'm on. So thank you for that introduction. And now it's time for the Big 5, Eric. On each episode, my guest and I will go over these 5 questions to help you, the listeners, learn what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. You ready to go?
Yeah, it's you, man.
Great. So we know you're a serial entrepreneur, but we're excited to learn more. When did you realize that you either weren't happy with what you were doing or that you just needed some kind of change to truly start this entrepreneurial journey? Let's hear that exact moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually do trace it back to exact moment. It was sometime around 2007, 2008. I was working for a large legal publishing company, and I was at our national sales conference, and I actually was that weekend receiving an award for, being top of my region. So I was doing well, but I looked around and I'm like, okay, you know, next I would probably be, you know, director of sales, VP of sales. And I looked at the people in these roles and I just couldn't see myself there. I just couldn't see it. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out. And it wasn't, nothing wrong with this. I respect people who stay in the corporate track. I'm just not, I can't, status quo is not my thing. And when I realized, like, okay, this is going to be more of the same every year. And if anybody who's ever been in a sales position knows that, like, you can have the best year, you could double, triple, quadruple your quota, but as soon as January 1st hits, you're starting all over again. And that not having something to build upon and seeing the, you know, people who are past winners of the award, but then now we're hurting. I'm like, this ain't for me, man. I can't, this isn't the kind of grind I'm into. So that was the moment that I realized, I started looking for maybe another option or two.
Was that in Montana or were you living somewhere else at the time?
I was living in San Francisco, California, actually. Yeah. And the sales conference, I believe, was in St. Louis. Or no, Chicago. It was
You were born in California?
Yeah, I was. I was born in the Silicon Valley. Wow. Before it was the Silicon Valley. I date myself. Yeah, I'm like, I can say like, I remember riding my bike around when it was all at orchards. I'm that guy. I totally remember that. And, you know, when I look, quick anecdote is like, you know, my dad bought the house when I was born in Saratoga, California for something like $100,000. Right. And then, you know, eventually sold it for $1.3 million when I graduated college. So over a 20-year span, you can see how things shifted in the San Francisco Bay Area.
That's incredible. That's a great way to look at it. But now that you've been on this entrepreneurial path here, Eric, what would you say one or two of the most difficult parts of being an entrepreneur are?
Oh, man, there's so much. I think, you know, I get to mentor a lot of entrepreneurs too. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I got it all figured out. I have my own personal challenges. And so does, you know, Ken, my business partner, who's, you know, seen, you know, even more success in his time on this planet. But I think it's universal. And one of the biggest challenges I think that entrepreneurs face is this balance between urgency and patience. And I call it walking the fence, you know, is like, okay, well, there's certain times you have to have urgency. You have to push, but there's other times you have to let things marinate. You have to let relationships work. You have to be patient with things, right? You have to know when to hit the gas, pull the brakes, all those things. I think that's number one. Time management seems to be one of the biggest things that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. Especially when I tell people, hey, your first order of work is to take a day every week completely off. Nothing that feels like work. No cell phone, no email, nothing. And it just freaks people out. Well, like, no, just do it. Trust me. And then we eventually get it to, you know, what we call our entrepreneurial time system. But that's a big thing too, is time management. And then, you know, I think everybody also suffers from imposter syndrome. You know, that's a real thing. Everyone wonders like, am I good enough? Why am I teaching people this? Why would anyone listen to me? Right. How did I get this award? Like, why am I being recognized for this? And I can tell you right now, people at the very highest levels, you know, multi-millionaires, people have exited companies and built them and all the normal societal metrics of success, they have imposter syndrome, probably worse than anybody.
Yeah. I love how you put that, the time management system. I'm an early bird. I always have been. And some people are productive at night in those hours. I'm mostly in the morning. So if I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, I already have 6 hours of the day in by the time most people are awake.
Yeah.
Where I take my breaks. And like you're saying, those full day off, I'm looking forward to football season. Perfect. Personally, the Jets are usually my mental health day on Sunday.
Yeah. Is that mental health though, being a Jets fan? I feel like
I set myself up. It's they put you through it, man. What team are you for? Are you 49ers?
Niners. Oh, yeah, wow. I'm a Niners fan.
It's a good time to be a Niners fan.
We had 10 years of darkness there. So we're happy to be here.
Yeah, you guys definitely deserve it. I'm hoping that Sam Darnold is the truth. I'm hoping that we realize we need an offensive line to have anything happen. But I don't know.
We're hoping we have a football season, number one.
Yeah, I know the NBA, as we record, they're going to start in Orlando soon, I think fanless, and they're going to do TVs around the stadium, I think, that have fans at like bars and things. So mimics the idea of real people, but I'm anxious to see how it goes. I'm hoping it does start. But back on track here, what would you say one of your greatest failures or lessons learned, Eric? And what did it teach you? Why is it still stuck with you all the way till today?
You know, it's always, it's an interesting question because you fail so much as an entrepreneur, right? And I think I've always been very fast to rush into starting a company. You know, all the normal things, getting the equity agreements, pulling the corporate paperwork, starting the bank accounts, pulling the credit card, all the things that do that, you know, are checklists for starting a company. And I don't do that anymore. I don't start companies unless I'm pretty far down the road and I feel like corporate structure isn't, because it's a lot easier to start a company than it is to withdraw from one, right? Yeah. So I think that's been a huge, you know, I think that's just patience really that I've learned over the years, just be a little bit more patient, you know, trust people. Like, hey, if you can't trust someone enough to start a business venture without having official paperwork, then maybe you shouldn't be in business with them anyway. So that, I think that's one of the big things. And, you know, I've just had multiple business partnerships. Really only a few of them have turned out well all the way through. It's tough. So yeah, I think not rushing into it, and I can, anecdotally, I don't want to give too many examples just for other people, but I think that's a big one, is not rushing into partnerships, but taking your time.
I have a similar example. Won't use names as well. Most recent partnership I was working on, I'm working on a few kids' books right now. Actually, later today, I have a call to progress the mental health version I was working on.
Awesome.
One for business, entrepreneurship, teach kids, and just different timelines we were on. And a big thing for me in any venture is just communication and transparency. Things happen in life. If it doesn't happen, just communicate and we'll work it out. But I rushed it because I wanted these books done. I wanted these done right for the school year to start. And I had a very highly reputable connection referred, and it just didn't work out. But I had to pull we were on the final sketches of the book after 5 months. And it was a very tough decision. And I pulled the project because if I can't trust somebody to get the deadlines done, how am I going to trust you with money involved? And, you know, it was a very hard decision, but I confronted my coaches and talked about it, but they said the decision, the business is not easy.
Yeah, no, it's not, man. Yeah, it's good lessons to learn early.
I didn't want to rush into a book and then deal with a problem for a long time rather than just say, okay, maybe it's not time for this book.
Mm-hmm.
This project is on. But I'm interested for this answer because I could tell you're such a learner. Into the serial entrepreneurship, trying new things. If you could pick any entrepreneur, dead or alive, who would you have a conversation with?
Oh man, Anthony Bourdain. I know he may not be a traditional entrepreneur.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just someone who I wish I could have a conversation with in general. And, you know, through his authorship and some of the businesses he started, and, you know, I know he left a nice nest egg for his family. But yeah, man, he's just one of the most interesting, his approach at life and different cultures and why people have to travel and understand what makes other people the way they are. He's searching out their values and being respectful. And I just wish more people had that seed planted in them. Like, man, I always talk about in this country, how would things change in such a positive way if everybody had to go travel for a year after school? Government funded, hey, here's the amount of money. You got to go to a foreign country and spend a year traveling. Like, what? How much would we bring back? How much per, you know, it would do so much good. And I feel like a lot of people in travel. So his respect for other societies, other cultures, really inspires me to travel more and just be, you know, more open to things.
It's funny you say that. The gentleman who's on the show, today's episode airing, his name is Richard Walton. From the UK in Cape Town, South Africa. He talks about that bridge year where you find yourself after that year and the dividends it pays. I'm a huge proponent of it as well. I wish I could have. I did go, I had my traumatic brain injury kind of alter my plans, but I just went from undergrad straight to grad school. So I didn't take that bridge year, but I didn't jump right into the world. I took that year. So I'm a big fan of that. But for this meeting with him, where would it be? If you could pick that place for the meeting, where would y'all meet?
Yeah. Man, I would say, what is it? Joe Beef, up in Montreal area. That restaurant's like one of the most world famous restaurants. And I would do it there.
Too. Yeah. Hear him talk while you eat. This part is savory.
Oh yeah. We'd definitely be eating. That's for sure.
What would you be eating?
And drinking.
Let's take it that far then. What would be the ideal meal with him?
I think it would be the weirdest thing we could get our hands on, whatever they were serving at that place, right? I mean, that was his MO. It's like eat the weirdest thing, whether it's like a beating cobra heart to, you know, haggis or whatever, something that's local to whatever, you know, and representative of the local culture. I'd be into it, man. I love, you know, my wife and I love to travel. My wife's Brazilian. She was born and raised there. And that's actually brought a lot of really quality perspective to my life as like, you know, how hard things can be and how easy we really do have it here. Mm-hmm. I think people lose sight of that, especially right now in these days and times. Today is what, July 8th, 2020. So yeah, I forgot I was going with that, but that's definitely.
I agree. I was in Colombia actually right before this quarantine. The way of life, just the simplicity, you know, granted they don't have the problems because of resources perhaps, but simple life, you realize that, okay, what's really, really stressful may not be that important. And people were even saying there, people come here to escape their lives. You come here just to escape. I said, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But looking into the future, we both like traveling. We have a lot ahead of us. Let's look for your entrepreneurial endeavors, though, in the future. We're going to do 1 year and 5 years. Where do you see yourself in your entrepreneurial endeavors in 1 year from today?
Yeah, 1 year from now, I think with Level 5 Mentors, we're going to continue to grow at a pretty steady pace. We've seen a lot of growth over the last few months, surprisingly, but not so surprisingly, through a pandemic and, you know, on the verge of what could be a recession. So that's quality, and just continuing the work that we're doing. That's really important to me. And we're always looking for joint ventures. And, I can see one of the projects hitting big too. We got some big projects in the works. So I don't know which one it is yet. We have some irons in the fire. So continuing to grow my mentorship practice and my consulting practice, and then probably having one joint venture, hit.
I like the way you put that. It's a good lesson for people where when you have something going, you need to spend the time to maintain it, care for it, not just get a quick piece of success and let it go to your head and then the business will crumble. That's great advice. But let's delve deeper here, Eric. 5 years. What are we saying?
Yeah. 5 years, I believe I'll probably be stepping a little bit more out of the mentoring role. I'll probably just be working with 3 to 5 selective clients who, I'm paid accordingly for the work I do, and then managing, helping manage 2 or 3 different companies that are in development right now. So just farther along the path of what I'm already doing. It's a pretty clear vision that we have for the next really 20 years. So, and it's going well so far. I mean, look at it this way, man. My favorite analogy is, if a plane leaves from Boston and is flying to San Francisco, what percentage of the time is that thing actually on course? Roughly 8%, which means that 92% of the time it's course correcting, right?
Pivoting, constantly pivoting. Yes.
Dealing with weather, air traffic control, whatever it may be. Right. And that's kind of why I look at these things. Is that I know where we're going. We're going to course correct many, many times, but that's exactly, we're going to land in San Francisco.
I love it. Sure. I love it. Well, Eric, it's time for the spotlight story. Each episode, I share the entrepreneurial journey of an entrepreneur to inspire our listeners, and would love to hear your take on it. Now I will introduce the entrepreneurial journey of Matthias Recchia. Matthias finished his MBA from Harvard by the time he was 23 years old, and I enjoyed this write-up because he's a true innovator, and that he founded his company, Iguana Fix, because of how badly he needed it in his own life, so he knew how much it could help others. Matthias reminded me of myself, where in college when I read he was always misplacing his keys and having to call a locksmith. Recchia began to become angry because these locksmiths would give him a price after letting him go into his home. But the platform he created is comparable to TaskRabbit, but only focuses on home improvement and personal repair services that range from electrical to plumbing. So he keeps it simple. And these unethical and frustrating practices that Matthias had to deal with led him to create this company, Iguana Fix, and standardize pricing to protect consumers, while at the same time giving service providers access to a wider array of clients. His story got a lot to me because he went to Harvard, right? Harvard by 23, and he just saw a need. What do you think of this, Eric?
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I think the first place my mind goes is how entrepreneurs tend to look at things differently than everyone else, right? We look for problems to fix. We look for innovation. And part of that is because a lot of times in a traditional education system or any kind of corporate track is like, okay, we're fixing ourselves to fit into a role, right? Jamming a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
When really, if we start to look at things a little bit differently, understand like, okay, what is it that I'm really gifted at? Because everyone has something. I believe that at least one or two things that someone is really, really good at. And when you start to understand what those things are, then you start to form companies and partnerships and collaborations and missions that hinge on your strengths, not you trying to adapt to a system. And I when I hear stories like this, it just rings true and clear that that's kind of what he did, right? I mean, Harvard's a big deal. Absolutely. Do they form you to be a free thinker? I don't know. I never went to Harvard. I went to Boston College. We made fun of people from Harvard. So it's just a bunch of stiffs. And you know, so it's true. Like, they do try to, you know, you got to look outside and understand that there's nothing, as an entrepreneur, there's nothing wrong with you not fitting in or not wanting the status quo, but you got to really search out and understand what it is that you have, what's your unique ability, what is your zone of genius, what is it that you do better than most people. That is how you guide your actions.
I love it, Eric. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know our listeners are going to see all the value in your episode today. I loved how we started the show and you knew the exact moment of you when you wanted to leave that corporate behind, because I know how many people that does relate to. It was something that I went to as well. I really enjoyed the reasoning for picking the entrepreneur, because it stems to happiness will then lead to success. If you look at your business, you have a 20-year plan of a business that you created. So I think that's truly remarkable. But it is time for the last word here, Eric. And I do this on my other podcast series, A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey, too, because I want my listeners to really get to know the guests I bring on here. Is there something that you would like to share with everybody listening on that we did not get to touch on yet today?
Yeah, man. I think one of my biggest thrills in life is helping people go from someday to today. And what I mean by that is, like, we all have these plans that we want to do someday, a bucket list, I guess, for lack of a better term, right? And so we put it off, and then maybe it never happens. And, you know, the way that my wife and I made a big decision in 2017 to sell my businesses locally and hit the road and go do things that we had always wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. And now, granted, that took a lot of pain in 2016. We had a lot of loss that led us to making decisions differently. Wouldn't go through it again, but I'm grateful it happened, because it kind of made us who we are. And, you know, it was a simple conversation, like, hey, we always talk about we're going to go live in a ski town someday. Well, what if we made it today? What does that look like? What if we just did it? Right. And I think that's a question more people need to ask themselves, because life is just a series of choices. Right. And that's the key. So make someday today.
I love it, because there's always excuses for why tomorrow is the day, tomorrow is the day, tomorrow is the day. But someone like me who got hit by a car while walking, it doesn't make sense to have that philosophy. So I really do appreciate you bringing that up. Would you mind please sharing your professional social media, the website, ways for our listeners to follow your endeavors, request your services?
Yeah, man. Thank you for asking. So you can find me at Level 5 Mentors, LEVEL, the number 5, mentors.com. I also have a couple podcasts. I have The Future of Fitness, which is futurefitness.co. And you can go to that website and look at almost 200 episodes there of all fitness industry, cutting edge entrepreneurs and thought leaders within the industry. Very relevant, because that industry is disrupting right now. Also, all of the social media, there's very few Eric Malzones out there. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at emailzone. I think those are the big ones, man. I'm not hard to find.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, for everybody listening on, I'm going to have Eric send me the links to his 2 podcast series. I'll put it in the podcast description for when you're listening to this episode. You can hop right over to his and give it a listen. So be sure to check out all of his social media and content. And it's social media time, and we're on whichever platform you like to use. It's A Mental Health Break on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And on Twitter, it's Podcast by Lancey. So you get updates from this show and what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. Of course, my handles are at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube. And my website is VincentALancey.com. If you check out my books, DM me. I'd love to hear from you. We have Left 4 Dead, A Story of Redemption, and How to Transform Your Mindset When the Norm Has Changed. Both are on Amazon now. If you enjoyed today's episode, please continue listening and rate A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey 5 stars. I work hard to find value-delivering guests for you on each episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all on the next episode of A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey.